It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
There are many known ways to control the weather, and the best way to steer it seems to be with the NEXRAD Doppler Weather Radar Network.
The circular blue flashes seen in this video are frequency transmissions from the NEXRAD network of transmitter installations. The brighter the blue flash from a frequency transmission installation, the more pronounced and powerful the repelling effect on any air mass or storm in the vicinity will be. Where there are no blue flashes, there is no transmission, thus no repelling effect, thus no resistance for a migrating storm. Translation: a migrating storm will be hindered from moving toward frequency transmissions and will easily migrate in a direction with no transmissions. So again, I ask, was Hurricane Helene's path and behavior just an act of nature, or was it engineered?
Whatever happened during Hurricane Helene, our own government is actively killing the victims of the flooding.
We're in Nashville, and I saw two Air Force helicopter 60s, and I knew there were PJs just looking at them. And I went up to them, like, hey, guys, like, what are y'all doing? And, like, this is what you need to be doing. This is how I'm finding people. And they're like, we can't go. We're waiting on Title 10 orders. And I'm like, what? They can't get any authority. There's military helicopters all over here sitting on the ground, and they can't do nothing. Even my JSOC boys in Fayetteville, they can't get orders to come out here. It is just the most disgusting thing, and they're killing these people. And I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know what kind of conspiracy. I've heard so many things, whatever you want to come up with, but they are literally allowing these people to fucking die in the mountains right now because we can't get helicopters.
Not only is the government standing down, they are stopping others from helping. And there are even reports that the confiscated donations are being delivered to sanctuary cities.
So I'm here in Boone, North Carolina. I'm at the staging area. I volunteered myself and my canines to come up and do some search and rescue efforts. Obviously, you see all my equipment. So we've been told to turn around and go the opposite direction, because what they're doing is they're confiscating everything. Like, they would confiscate all of my gear, my car, my dogs, like literally everything. There are some people who have been tracking these FEMA agents and what they do with these supplies after. And these are people that are directly associated with the group that I'm volunteering with. And essentially what they're doing is they're taking these supplies to sanctuary areas for illegal migrants and giving it all to them.
An unmarked black helicopter was caught on camera deliberately causing thousands of dollars of damage to a donation and support center. The government is no longer trying to hide. They are now killing us out in the open. And the radical Marxists working at FEMA are not really concerned with most of the people.
LGBTQIA people and people who have been disadvantaged already are struggling. They already have their own things to deal with. So you add a disaster on top of that, it's just compounding on itself.
You know, the shift that we're seeing right now is a shift in emergency management from utilitarian principles, where everything is designed for the greatest good for the greatest amount of people, to disaster equity.
We the people point out that they are killing us, and they complain that it's hurtful.
What kind of impact has this had on the recovery effort?
It has a tremendous impact on the comfort level of our own employees to be able to go out there, but it's also demoralizing.
Right after the government says they don't have enough money for the American people stricken by the floods and that another storm is coming, they announce another $157 million to the people of Lebanon. Joe Biden makes another Freudian slip and says the government's response will be to increase the number and intensity of these extreme weather events.
Response is to increase the number and intensity of the extreme weather events, and beware, we're going to be use all the resources available to the government to do it.
We are just a short time away from another devastating hurricane striking Florida. looking like the intensity isn't slowing down. There's been some fluctuations, but this is very, very serious. People are saying it's unprecedented. They haven't seen anything like this before. And more, the discussions about weather modification are increasing on X, I'm seeing, and on other social media platforms. It's really interesting because I was just thinking yesterday about how frustrating it must be for someone like Alex Jones, who has been talking about these things for decades and watching people waking up slowly, and he's been so unbelievably patient with them. He, again, yesterday dedicated, and if you haven't seen it, even if you think you know everything about weather modification, I would recommend going back and watching his stream on that from yesterday, because he revisited very, very old information that is still relevant today about just how real this specific agenda is. We have NASA presentations saying we're going to control the weather and do weather warfare by the year 2025. We have documentation up the wazoo that this is a real thing. And yet I have seen some people on X who are awake to the child genital mutilation agenda, to the COVID injection agenda. They accept that the government is trying to depopulate and harm and kill us. And for some reason, some of these people are mocking the weather modification information coming out. And I just think, my goodness. I don't know. I can't imagine what it's been like being Alex for the past 20 years, trying to wake people up to all of the various aspects to the New World Order. And seeing, I cannot fathom how you know, and you've seen over the past 4 years, you claim you're awake. You've seen that the government has actively been trying to kill its people. Every single government around the world has actively been trying to kill its people through the COVID shots. This was a depopulation biological weapon. We know this. We accept this, right? So if they can be so brazen as to create such an advanced weapon in the form of a vaccine that through a staggered approach kills people through various means, such as various forms, such as whether it be myocarditis, cancer, whether it be other problems with other organs, neurological problems, you know, whether it leaves you permanently disabled, maimed, or dead. We know that there were different batches. We've seen people dying suddenly. We've seen celebrities dying suddenly. We've literally been saturated with this information for the past 4 years. I cannot fathom how people are still in denial about the fact that the government has many weapons up their sleeve. Not to mention EMF, not to mention, you know, what they can do through the frequencies, through 5G towers. Are we going to deny that too? I'm really astounded. I am astounded by this. And I was thinking this morning, what is it? What is it that makes people live in denial about these other aspects of the agenda? Why is it that you can accept that the government unleashed a biological weapon known as the COVID-19 vaccine? Or even if you don't think it's a biological weapon, why can you accept that the government put out these deadly shots? There's been a massive cover-up in every which way they possibly can. They've tried to cover this up. The FDA and Pfizer tried to keep the Pfizer documents hidden for 75 years until a court ruled that they had to release it in batches, and dailyclout.io started putting that out all the time. Naomi Wolf, her team did a fantastic job. Dr. Naomi Wolf, putting out the information about how babies were dying in the clinical trials, and Pfizer knew. Pfizer knew that these injections were causing myocarditis, which means the FDA knew, which means that every government around the world that was working with the FDA knew, or should have known, or should have requested that information from the FDA before they went along and accepted that these were just going to be, you know, let's just all go under the guise of emergency use authorization. These are safe and effective, the FDA said so. You can't just blindly trust that the FDA just said so without doing some due diligence. And if they didn't, at bare minimum, it's negligible homicide or something along those lines, and yet there's been no accountability. There is a massive cover-up. We accept these things. We've seen them. But what makes someone just go up to a certain point, and they hit a wall and they say, that's just too unbelievable for me? How can you watch the past 4 years and watch in lockstep every government implement lockdowns, implement mandates, fire you from your job for not getting an experimental injection, ban you from seeing your loved ones, not be able to stand by the bed of your dying relatives in hospital, have to wear a muzzle in public places? Sometimes they were telling us to even do it in our homes. How is it that every media outlet, every government, absolutely everyone in lockstep did the same thing, but they can't coordinate the weather and other methods of control? Or weaponize 5G, or weaponize AI, or weaponize other technology? We can accept that governments around the world are working together to censor people. In every country, it's a problem. There's dissent in every country, and they're actively targeting those dissenters. What is it that causes the quote-unquote awake to have this cognitive dissonance? Is it purposeful? Are these people just there to go up to a certain point and not past that point? I'm not making that accusation. I'm just asking. It's just bizarre to me that you can be somewhat awake. After everything we've seen over the past 4 years, after the utter death and destruction that was pre-planned and perfectly orchestrated, whilst they all pretended it was just some incompetence, how is it that we can still think that this is, how can we put this down to incompetence? Of course, there are some people in government who are incompetent. That is, you have career politicians who really don't have any skill sets other than just being corrupt and probably part of some weird pedo club. Of course, that exists. And then there are just some really useless idiots in government. I understand that. But at the highest levels, they all did the same thing. Now, weather modification is a fantastic example of how the New World Order operates, because no matter how much conflict countries have between each other, there happens to be this, that there seems to be this sort of silent agreement that we'll just let this go on. And I know for a fact that I've seen planes from foreign military in Australia dropping trails, because I look at flight radar, I see this trail above my head, and I check flight radar, and it's a military plane, and it's not an Australian military plane. I've seen energy companies doing it. I've done a massive expose on NOAA. I'm not going to go through it all again because I've mentioned it several times, but the crux of it is NOAA had on their website, although they've scrubbed it, we'll show you that in a minute, they had on their website all of these weather modification operations. As I've told you all before, this is part of their OMIC strategy. They have a mandate that by 2025, they'll upload that all into the cloud so that AI in future, which will be doing all of the modeling for NOAA, will be spitting out essentially that we need to do more weather modification to combat climate change. This is how they're training all their LLMs. This is how Google's training their LLMs. This is why when you ask woke AI a question, it spits out nonsense, because it's being trained on in a certain way. And so that's what NOAA's doing. And, you know, the evidence, there's so much of it. There's just so much of it. And there was a particular politician today in Australia who was saying, and I'm not exactly sure what he meant by the post, but he was saying, you know, the left is crazy when they claim the government is modifying the weather. The right's crazy when the government's modifying the weather. He shared a broadcast from Alex, so I think he was being tongue-in-cheek and making a point. Nonetheless, Australia, as an example, has had a rain-making legislation since 1967. Can you really be that thick to say, well, I'm sure there's, what's the reason? What's the reason, you know, why a country would have rain-making legislation for the past you know, 60 years. Why would they have that there if they're not intending to use it? You don't write up legislation unless you have the intention of using it. And inside that rainmaking legislation, it literally says there's a process to follow. If one state sprays or conducts weather modification of any kind, cloud seeding, and it affects another state, there's a process to follow in that instance. They have to do, you know, if I'm not mistaken, it's been some time since I reported on it, but fortnightly reporting, and it's all very covert. And anyone who's ever tried to sort of dig further generally hits a brick wall because they'll lodge an FOI. It's lodged with the wrong department. They keep changing which department reports to who. And, you know, it's all so convoluted that you can't get to the bottom of it. So many people have tried to get to the bottom of who's conducting this. The best evidence that we had was on NOAA, at least for the United States. And you can look at my report. It's I believe it's on Bend. If you can't find it there, it's on zmedia.com, zeemedia.com. And just go to the interviews page and search chemtrails, and you'll see world first geoengineering report that includes all of this evidence from NOAA. And that report will be very important in future because NOAA has decided we should just scrub all this, guys. And so the crew just brought up a tweet before from, I'm not sure how to pronounce her surname, Christy Legendary. Why is NOAA removing information from their website if weather modification isn't happening? They've removed 103 pages of weather modification reports that were previously listed on their site. In addition to that, they removed access to the NEXRAD radar inventory, which listed the locations and information for all of the NEXRAD stations throughout the US. Clip 7 is the NOAA scrub crew. Let's play that one. Apologies. Clip 8.
Come check this. Come check this. Come check this. Come check this. Come check this.
You can see they're scrolling through the pages, and literally, I know because I've dug through every single one of these pages, downloaded these reports. I went through a myriad of these when I reported on it. And there were, she's saying there were 103 pages. I can't remember exactly how many pages there were when I did it. But they were previously listed on their site. And I'm telling you again, this is part of their OMICS mandate. By 2025, they were required to upload everything to the cloud to train their AI LLM. So in addition to that, and team, we can just B-roll the NEXRAD scrub. They've gone and removed access to the NEXRAD radar inventory so we can see what happens when you try to go to that. I think the person clicks a link from memory. We're just waiting for it to scroll down. So they're showing you this is where it was previously listed. And then the person goes on, clicks a link, and it goes to page not found. It may be the other clip. Oh, there it is, radar access tools. And then they go, there we go. They go to find the, 404 error. So the NEXRAD radar inventory produces a 404 error now. What happened to your OMICS strategy, Noah? You said you had to upload everything into the cloud, that you were mandated to do this by the year 2025. Why are you deleting all of this information now? If people are struggling to understand that we are at war, that they launched a war against us, just like when the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, got up at the United Nations and literally said, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is what she said, we are at war with the people who spread disinformation. And everyone in that room at the UN stood up and gave her a standing ovation as she declared war on you and on me and on every single person who has a problem with the government killing their family member with a mandated vaccine. These people want us dead. They want to depopulate us. They want us reduced to roughly 500,000 worldwide. Now, I don't think they're going to be successful in that endeavor, but that's what they want, and they've killed many already. And I think that even the population numbers they're lying to us about now, I think they've probably successfully killed off quite a few more people. I can't tell you the number of funeral homes that I've heard that are saying, you know, cremation is going up the roof. We don't have the ability to, we're just run off our feet. I remember seeing footage coming out of New Zealand of a tiny little graveyard, and these two people were saying, you know, this is a very, very small graveyard. We barely see any new graves here. And then in the past 6 months, it's just grave after grave after grave after grave. And Alex recently said that we are veterans. He recently made the statement that we are veterans, all of us who've survived of a war that was waged on us, at least in the open, starting in 2020. The people of North Carolina, who, by the way, as Alex reported yesterday, we now have confirmation that this was a weather attack. This was an operation against the American people. These people who were dead, died in war. I don't know how else to say this without being, to really get it through people's heads who still don't understand this. The people who died as a result of Hurricane Helene are victims of war. The people who died from the COVID injections are victims of war. The people who will die as a result of other weather modification operations that the government are going to inevitably run because climate change is their favorite tool in the war chest of Agenda 2030 are victims of war because they have launched war against us. And if you need any further evidence of the fact that they're against us, let's go to the clip of the yet another helicopter that's destroying or sabotaging volunteer efforts in clip four. This is the second one. That is the second military helicopter that has sabotaged, the second video of a military helicopter sabotaging volunteer efforts of Hurricane Helene. This is unprecedented, unprecedented. Such serious times, and we're going to talk about a very, very alarming report that came out in the next half of the hour about the DOD expanding their military authority to include lethal force. But Politico is saying the worst I have ever seen. Disinformation, chaos, hammers, FEMA, conspiracies and rumors are hurting recovery and relief efforts, warned FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell. Misinformation is beginning to take a toll on hurricane responders and survivors alike, the head of FEMA said Tuesday as another massive storm headed for the southeast. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell said the swirl of false conspiracy theories around Hurricane Helene is dissuading survivors from seeking help and hurting morale among responders. It's not the weather operations that were conducted that's hurting people. It's not the fact that that is coming, that the truth about that is coming out. It's not the fact that people are trying to give people assistance, capturing evidence of helicopters sabotaging those efforts, military helicopters sabotaging those efforts, putting that out there and saying, what on earth is going on? Why has the government so viciously been weaponized against us in a crisis? Why is this happening? That's not the problem. Sorry, that is the problem. It's a problem that you are saying all of these things. The real problem is that you are highlighting this, not that we're doing it, not that we have launched a full-scale war on our own people, not that. It's that you dare to tell the truth about it, that you dare to tell the people what's really going on, that you dare to demand better than sabotaging survival rescue efforts. How dare you? This is unbelievable. We have never seen anything at this scale in the Western world. It is this hurricane has opened the eyes of so many American people, including liberals, and people from all over the world. And I'll tell you, as an Australian, I know that people in Australia are very interested in this situation because they're watching how the government is at bare minimum completely abandoning their people, let alone sabotaging, let alone doing this to them. The whole world is in shock watching the American government's response to this. This is unprecedented. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to have Dr. Pete Chambers joining us from the ground in North Carolina. He's been there conducting relief operations, rescue operations. We're looking forward to that. We're going to cover this domestic military authority in the next half hour as well. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Just 26 days out from Election Day, yet another hurricane is set to rip through another very red area. How are these people actually going to vote? If they haven't done early voting again, I don't know if that's available to Floridians. But if they have it, how are they going to do it now? When they're focused on evacuating the area? I mean, the estimates are that we even have the mayor, the Tampa mayor, saying, if you don't leave, you will die. The estimates are absolute devastation. How are these people actually going to be able to vote? Is voting even going to be on their priority list when they've lost everything? And if they can control hurricanes, which they can, why don't they just slow the thing down? If they can make a hurricane change course and keep going and destroy a whole area where they want to mine lithium, $90 million deal, if they can do that, why can't they just stop a hurricane? I'm not for weather modification, by the way. But it's amazing how these things will be used for bad but never for good. And The interesting thing, the thought that I had yesterday was, what if they actually do slow it down? And by in no way, shape, or form am I saying don't evacuate or anything like that, but what if they actually do slow it down and they actually make it, redirect it or do something with it as a way to discredit all the conspiracy theorists? That's a possibility. I actually hope they do that. Not because we'll be discredited, because we're
well and truly proven that our information is reliable. But I hope they do it, because then there'll be lives saved. Perhaps because of all of the exposure of all of this information, it may just force them to do that. I hope so. I hope they get forced into that. But take a look at clip 5, the Tampa mayor saying, you will die.
What would you say to people tonight who are saying, you know what, I'm going to ride this out, I've ridden others out? What would you say to people who aren't heeding those evacuation orders?
Well, I can tell you right now that they may have done that in others. There's never been one like this. And this, Helene was a wake-up call. This is literally catastrophic. And I can say without any dramatization whatsoever, if you choose to stay in one of those evacuation areas, you're going to die.
Wow. I mean, that is an incredibly blunt message. And I know you have a lot of experience dealing with these storms. You don't say something like that lightly, Mayor.
I've never said that.
People are criticizing her for her style of messaging and saying, this isn't the message that people need to be hearing, you're fear-mongering. But I think that the way that this storm looks, it's she's probably telling the truth. God forbid. But it really is such a serious situation. It's a vicious storm, vicious hurricane. And I'm looking at footage of it, and people are saying it looks like there's maybe potential second hurricane, or this thing does not look normal. From everywhere that I am seeing and people's commentary and people that have lived in Florida their whole lives, they're saying this does not look normal. By the way, over the weekend, Wyoming, half of Wyoming is now burning as well. Oh, actually, while we have that B-roll on, so people are saying it looks like perhaps another storm ahead of it, or another hurricane is coming ahead of it. That's not the one that I saw this morning. The one that I saw this morning literally looked like two hurricanes. It was just unbelievable. But half of Wyoming is reportedly burning right now, and nearly 73,000 acres of the Bighorn National Forest are now on fire. The previous largest fire recorded in the forest's 100-year history topped out at around 18,000 acres and took weeks to grow to that size. Yet over the weekend, the Elk Fire grew more than 25,000 acres in a matter of hours. That is not normal. That has not happened without some form of assistance. But they'll blame climate change, but that does not happen normally. So the weaponization of weather is so widespread right now, and barely anyone had heard about that, of course, because the focus has been on the other chaos that's happening. Do you remember 4 years now, when the Australian fires were all over the news and it was utter devastation? They were just raging and it didn't make sense. It was all along the East Coast. Now, I think perhaps they weren't ready to do what they wanted to do in those areas just yet. But where they were burning just so happened to be where the proposed fast rail linking all the smart cities were. What a coincidence. These areas have been impacted by climate change, you see. Remember the fires? Now we need to build smart cities and fast rail, because that doesn't contribute to climate change, of course. It's utter madness. But FEMA is hiring now armed security guards, armed level 2 guards, 90 base period. The solicitation release date is reportedly the 10th of October. Contract is expected to complete by the 20th of January 25, with one 90-day option period. They are estimating the cost of these armed guards to be anywhere between $5 and $10 million, and they're sending them to Asheville, Buncombe County, Black Mountain, Swannanoa, Fairfield, Old Fort, Burnsville, Spruce, Pine, Barnardsville, Marshall, Mitchell, Avery. And you can see the contract itself here, or the posting, I should say. Armed level 2 security guards in support of response activities in the state of North Carolina. The contractor shall provide armed guard level 2 services for a 90-day base period. The requirement is for contract security guards to provide security services at disaster-related sites and facilities in the state of North Carolina. Why does FEMA feel that they need armed security in these areas if there isn't going to be some sort of uproar and upheaval from the people? Why would there be uproar and upheaval? Maybe because FEMA is actively blocking relief efforts. One sheriff had to run them out of town. God bless him. That's what every sheriff should be doing. And they've got $10 million for armed guards, guys. If they were there doing what's in the best interests for the people and cooperating and going above and beyond, no one, they wouldn't need armed guards. There's obviously a reason for it. People aren't happy. So they've got $10 million in the budget for that. But not for the victims. Now, we're about to get into something extremely serious, ladies and gentlemen. And this was reported yesterday on InfoWars. DOD directive expands domestic military authority to include lethal force. We're going to look at that and the expanded version of that in just a moment. But first, a quick word from Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have only been excited about a supplement product this much, and all our products are great, a few times in the last couple decades. This is so game-changing, and we knew about this years ago, but I wanted to wait until we were able to get you the very best. And our sponsor, the great folks at Bigley, have come out with Ultimate CMOS. Now, this particular type of CMOS has been all the rage for years, and we got it from one of the top companies in the nation that let us private label it. They're top rated. This is a concentrate of a CMOS that doesn't just have the special type of bioavailable iodine, but all these other vitamins and minerals and then trace elements. So it's the way the CMOS produces and grows this that makes it probably the top superfood in the world right now. So you're supporting the broadcast, you're getting a top CMOS, and of course you're empowering your body, your immune system, and so much more. Now the big one is the iodine. The type of iodine in this is extremely bioavailable, and then again it has all these other vitamins and minerals and trace elements and things that are connected to it, your whole metabolic system. Then it works for your immune system. I've got a whole giant list here. Boosts energy levels, improves mental health, supports joint and muscle health, improves skin health, promotes healthy digestion, boosts immune system, supports thyroid health, and it's rich in nutrients. It's got it all. A, C, K, iron, iodine, potassium, magnesium, and just a whole bunch of wild stuff. Because if you just get normal vitamins, they're synthetic and don't work very well. Even if you get organic, but they're not naturally produced in a plant, whereas they're connected to all these other cofactors, it just doesn't have the effect. This has it all. This type of CMOS is amazing. When you go to the alexjonesstore.com, you're also ensuring that even if InfoWars gets shut down on November 13th, which it could, it's all of the news if you missed it, we will continue on with great sponsors like the alexjonesstore.com. So it's a win-win. Get a great product at a great price. It's 40% off, by the way. Support the broadcast. One way or another, it's up to you whether we're able to do this. So we try to bring you great products that you're going to love so you want to reorder them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and get Ultimate CMOS today. And while you're there, there are now over 100 awesome t-shirt, hoodie, ball cap designs, and more at the alexjonesstore.com that have these powerful messages that spread the word of liberty. It helps you meet like-minded people. And again, it's a major sponsor that's going to be critical for me staying on the air one way or another. So we're doing a fundraiser right now through our sponsors to ensure that the globalists that are so desperate to silence us when President Trump is president-elect, or if Kamala steals it, that they are pulling out all the stops to get us off the air. So I try to make it a win-win. You get a great product at a great price, and you keep us on the air. Now, it's 40% off for one bottle right now. 40% off for one bottle. It's over 40% when you get two and even more when you get three. So check it out. This is a heavy bottle. It is just filled with these bad boys. I'll show people an overhead shot of this. And you take one or two a day of these, and it just does incredible things for your whole body. Trust me. Get it. Just like our information's game-changing and tomorrow's is today, this is probably the ultimate superfood out there from one of the best sources, and it supports the broadcast. A360 Win. So get the hoodies, get the t-shirts, check out all the new great designs. New ones being added daily. Get Ultimate Sea Moss. Check out some of the other amazing supplements while you're there at thealexjonesstore.com. And then we're going to be able to stay on air in the face of the New World Order. It's amazing. Take action now. Ultimate Sea Moss, 40% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Let me tell you, we are going to need all the help that we can get for the times that are coming in terms of supplementation, nutrition. We're about to go into very, very challenging times, folks. DoD Directive 524001, the stealth expansion of military intelligence powers in life or death domestic scenarios. Now, I showed you the InfoWars article when I posted that yesterday to X. Sayer G, who did the original investigation, it's a deeper dive, messaged me and said, here's my deep dive into this. So I'm glad that he did that. Imagine waking up to discover that the U.S. military has quietly been granted the authority to assist in domestic law enforcement activities, including the use of lethal force against U.S. citizens in certain circumstances. Already surrounded by concerns about unrest, civil liberties, and potential government overreach. Just before the election. So let me give you a little bit of the history about this. The new provisions are: the updated directive expands the circumstances under which the DoD can assist law enforcement, including the use of lethal force. Assassination is explicitly forbidden, but while assassination is banned, the new language allows for lethal actions under imminent threats. What's an imminent threat? Anything they say it is. A MAGA extremist, a conspiracy theorist, someone who spreads disinformation, a pandemic denier, a climate change denier, a Christian. Concerns about civil liberties. The expanded definition of national security threats is raising alarms, particularly given the DHS's broader definition of domestic terrorism threats. High-level approval required. Any intelligence sharing that could lead to lethal force must be approved by the Secretary of Defense, but component heads can act immediately for up to 72 hours before obtaining approval. So this directive carries significant weight in shaping military operations and intelligence activities. While DoD directives are typically internal policy documents, the implications of this particular update extend far beyond the walls of the Pentagon, potentially affecting civilian life and constitutional rights. So the changes, while the update might seem routine, it says, the changes regarding the use of lethal force in domestic operations are significant. So here's the history. In the 2016 version, the directive primarily focused on intelligence collection and ensuring civil liberties protections for U.S. persons. It emphasized strict oversight and the need for authorization before collecting U.S. person information. However, the 2024 version expands the military's role, particularly in assisting civil law enforcement, and authorizes the lethal force under specific conditions, raising questions about its use during potential civil unrest surrounding the election, whether authentic or manufactured, ladies and gentlemen. We have to be very, very, very wary of false flag operations. None of us conservatives don't want violence. Christians don't want violence. Trump supporters don't want violence. We have to be very careful. So the differences between the 2016 and 2024 versions. Previously, in the 2016 version, there were civil liberties protections. There was strict oversight for operations involving U.S. citizens. Intelligence collection restrictions were in place, which limited when and how U.S. persons' information could be collected, and privacy safeguards were there as well, explicitly listed, protecting privacy rights and preventing unauthorized data collection. But the new provisions in the 2024 version include the use of lethal force, include the conditions of force. So it's direct. It does specify lethal force can be used under conditions involving imminent threats, which, again, is anything they say it is. And legal oversight, it must comply with DOD 521056, ensuring proper legal frameworks are followed. But let me be honest with you. I want to be very specific about this. The amount of good people in military and law enforcement that they pushed out during COVID, you are left with some good people, and there are absolutely some good people. But there are people who are on power trips. There are people who are blind order obeyers. If Australia was any example, crew, if you've got any B-roll that you can play while I'm talking to the people about this, that would be great. There we go. If Australia was any example to any of you, I've lived through this. I've seen it. I have seen the police shooting at unarmed protesters. I have seen them tackling grandmas to the ground, strangling women who aren't wearing a mask up against a wall. I witnessed them. I witnessed them at a quote-unquote illegal protest, staging, using a pregnant woman who was not a protester. The police and the police were staging this, and the media was ready to record it. They were doing this on purpose. They tackled a non-protesting pregnant woman to the ground, smashing her stomach into the ground so that they could provoke the men, so that the media could get that on camera, the men coming at the police. I watched this with my own eyes. When you have authorities that turn against you like they did in Australia, like they did in Canada, that is burned in your memory for life, ladies and gentlemen. It is very hard to ever look at them the same again. And I don't, I will be honest with you. It's a bit different here in America because they didn't do this to their people during COVID. So I view them differently here. I have more respect for them here than I do there. Believe me, look at this. Look at what they did. Look at this sick pig strangling a woman. She's not wearing a mask. So he strangles her up against a wall so that he can restrict her breathing. She's tiny. He's treating her like a criminal, getting on top of her. This is a pregnant mother who posted in opposition to lockdowns. They came into her home and arrested her. They were checking people's coffee cups to make sure they're actually drinking coffee in the park if they weren't wearing a mask, because you were only allowed to slip it down to have a sip of coffee. So when you have all the good guys that have left, been pushed out, and you're left with these goons in your military, in your police force, things look very different, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I want to be very clear. I am very supportive of law enforcement, good, honest, moral law enforcement. But we have to be real and understand that a lot of them aren't good because a lot of the good ones were pushed out. And let me tell you that my personal situation of being debanked last year was following a report that I did that just so happened to be about a subject similar to this one, except it wasn't lethal force. The Australian military on their own defence.gov website posted that they were conducting operations to deal with unruly protesters. And I went online and I did a report and I said, what kind of unrest are they expecting? Why are they doing this? Is there something we should be aware of? Why is our military, who exists to protect us from foreign adversaries, training to turn against the Australian people? This seems very unusual to me. And then some people said, oh, they've been doing this for years. For goodness sake, how embarrassing. Why would you even bring this up? Because I don't think that a situation of martial law should ever exist in our country. I don't think the military should ever turn against its own people. That's why this shouldn't be normalized. And at no point should it be normalized that any sort of legal documents exist for your own military to use lethal force against you. That is unacceptable. Alex Jones has been warning about this for years. Again, define imminent threat for me. Define what is an imminent threat. The conditions are, it has to be an imminent threat. And I'll just go back to what I was saying, why this is such a soft spot for them. So I did that report, and then all of a sudden 60 Minutes thought, this girl belongs on a piece that we're going to do about domestic terrorism. And my bank goes and debanks me a week before 60 Minutes decides to do that. I'm not even kidding. They were doing a piece on this shooting that happened. Lots of questions about that shooting. A couple of police officers tragically lost their lives. The shooters also tragically lost their lives. I'm not siding with the shooters. I just don't believe everything the government told us about that situation, and that's my right to not believe them, especially after all they've done to us. But it was after that report, me questioning why is the military training to turn against Australians was the one that apparently constituted some sort of domestic terrorism and a justification for my debanking. It is a very, very sore spot for them. They don't want you to know or think about or question why the military would train to turn against you or why the military now has provisions to use lethal force against their own people. Twice it says, assistance in responding with assets, with potential for lethality or any situation in which it is reasonably foreseeable that providing the requested assistance may involve the use of force that is likely to result in lethal force, including death or serious bodily injury. This is unacceptable, in my opinion. This article from SAOG highlights, you know, the implications for the 2024 elections, adding to the concern, because the timing of this update just 6 weeks before the election raises concerns with debates surrounding election integrity, civil unrest, political manipulation, expanded powers granted by the directive could lead to military intervention in domestic affairs if civil unrest arises. Adding to the concern is the DHS's recent expansion of what constitutes domestic terrorist, which includes anyone who questions vaccines, vaccine efficacy, COVID origins, or election integrity. Coming up after the break, Doc Pete Chambers is a former Green Beret himself. I'm going to ask him about this, and he's going to talk to us about what's happening in North Carolina from the ground. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be huge. Certainly not your typical morning broadcast here this morning. And I think it's important for us to know the truth and start our day off with just how serious things are, because then we can be productive and do whatever we can to stop this madness, wake the people up, turn this around. This is an literally all hands on deck situation all over the country, all over the world. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to waste. These people have declared war on us. The war is coming, if you haven't noticed, from every single angle, whether it be your family, whether it be your health, whether it be your food, whether it be the weather, whether it be anything. It's literally the air we breathe. It's everywhere. And we have to take it so seriously because we're running out of time. We're running out of time. We can't just say, oh, come the election, everything will be okay. For a few reasons. Number one, we should never depend on one single person to save the day. We should be more independent. If the last few years has taught us anything, it's that we need to be more independent, rely on ourselves for food, water, know where to get our water from, know where to get energy from, have backup energy, have backup communications, have all of this stuff sorted, know who's safe in the community, have a plan with your community. All of these things should be common to everyone by now. Please, if you haven't started taking this stuff seriously, think about it today. Think about it today. Go watch some prepper videos. You know, there's plenty of prepper videos on YouTube for people on a budget. Ways that you can do things with household items that could save you. Could literally save you and your family's life. Please, please, please take this very seriously. Duke Energy is under fire. And they actually own the dams that release the water in North Carolina. We have a clip. We can play that B-roll as B-roll, clip 12. So the story here is that Duke Energy actually was, there was just days before the disaster and they knew they were expecting the hurricane, they could have drained the water. It was at maximum capacity or actually over maximum capacity. And they didn't drain the water beforehand. And so now people are blaming Duke Energy for this. They're saying you should have done this well in advance. A smaller spill would have meant a smaller impact on communities downstream. People are saying they could have taken steps well in advance to drastically lower levels at all lakes in the 11-lake system to the bare minimum that they're allowed to. There's a perception that Duke is like the evil empire. They've earned it. Well, guess what else Duke Energy owns? They also own Hawaiian Electric. If you remember the downed power line saga, the fact that they should have prepared for that well in advance, and there was a whole community outrage about why they didn't prepare. Well, that was also Duke Energy. It could have significantly reduced the damage in Maui. That was also Duke Energy. They are, of course, owned by Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street. And you go back just a few years. In August 31 of 2022, the electric vehicle boom could bring lithium mines back to North Carolina. That's an article from Grist. And not all locals are happy about it. You know who else wasn't happy? The locals in Lahaina, who in Maui, where they were trying to change this to a smart city and trying to change the way that these people live. And they weren't too happy about that either. And so they burned them to a crisp. And Duke Energy just so happened to be involved with those power lines, and they just so happened to be involved with these dams as well. We are living in wartime of these corporations waging war on us with the cooperation of the government. This is sick, unprecedented. We got to stop this, ladies and gentlemen. We got to wake up to just how widespread this death plan is. Dr. Pete Chambers joins us right on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Well, there are some amazing, amazing people left in this world. In fact, I think there are more of them than many, many like to think, because it can be very... We can live with the perception that there are so few of us that are awake when we see so much chaos and so much denial around us. But one of those people is Doc Pete Chambers, who is literally a living hero. This man doesn't stop. This man is doing so much to rescue children, work on the border, go and help with rescue operations. You can find him at Doc Pete Chambers on X and the Remnant Ministry TX.org. Doc Pete Chambers is in, or has been in, North Carolina. Are you still there, Doc? Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Maria. Yes, we're still in North Carolina. We are on the opposite side of the tallest point here behind the city of Marshall. A lady gave us her house to use as an operation center. She lost her business in Marshall. She doesn't have a business anymore. Just story after story like that. That city right now is under mud. I mean, under 3-4 feet of mud. The National Guard did show up, and the active duty guys from Fort Bragg, 82nd Airborne guys, they sent an engineer unit out. They're digging them out right now. We are past the first phase of this thing. We're into the recovery phase at this point, although there are people still stranded. So my team lit out of Texas a few days back. Well, went right the day after this happened, and I sent out an advanced team to get eyes on the ground to develop what's called a CJOC.
We're cutting out a bit there. We're just losing you. I hope we can sort out that connection. I think it's back now. There we go.
Okay. Sit still. All right. You got it now?
Oh, it's cutting out a little bit, Doc. Is that I'm
okay.
I don't expect that there's going to be a perfect connection in that region.
Yeah, we've got Starlink. Thanks, Elon. And we've got solar panels up. So I'm going to move a little bit. I might be a little closer to it. How's that?
It's sounding good.
Okay, so we're in the recovery phase. Teams are still out. More teams are coming in, and I'm getting a lot of volunteers from the special operations group. They're going out into the backcountry and doing rucks. They're going into the backcountry with rucks on their backs, guys with horses, another team that's not ours. But we've coordinated these teams at the Civilian Joint Operations Center. And so now we are an entity to contend with. Be it understood that this day, Americans took back their security in this region. And we're going to look at another one here soon.
So explain to us what you mean by that statement.
Right. So when we wait on FEMA, and I've been on every hurricane involved since Rita and Katrina, Katrina and Rita, response-wise. And it's typically the people on the ground, the locals, that run the operations. It's just that way. FEMA has never helped us in the past. We didn't need to wait. We just lit out. And there are many other teams out here doing the same thing because we understand this. So when we take back our security and the security from either man-made or natural disaster, we have coordinated and we are a force to contend with in that respect, because we will protect those citizens on the ground that are in harm's way or that have been wiped out.
Well, we appreciate you, and we appreciate absolutely everyone that's doing that. I want to ask you, because just today or last night, I saw that FEMA now, it's come out that they've got an estimated dollar range of between $5 and $10 million to hire armed level 2 security guards in response of quote, right, unquote, in support, sorry, of response activities. Why do you think FEMA would need armed guards out there? Is it because they expect that because the public's not happy with them, they expect some sort of problems, some sort of unrest? Is it because of the looting? Why does FEMA need armed guards?
Yeah, good question. Good question. This is my understanding of that. FEMA's been putting out a lot of propaganda lately stating we're from the government and we're here to help you and you need to let us help you. You know, sit down in your house. You know, Ronald Reagan said the 9 most terrifying words were those.
Yeah.
So when they see that and people drive by their checkpoints and they say, no, we're not going to do this today. We don't care. And so the Lieutenant Governor Robinson and Tim Alexander, State Senator, we have been given passes to go by. And if anybody messes with us, that State Patrol from North Carolina is going to arrest them. Anybody from the federal government. So just understand that. So that's when you see those heroes that are our legislators. There are very few. There's two right there I wanted to point out, because they've been very instrumental in giving us authorities to conduct all of our operations, be it rescue, recovery, counter human trafficking. We've got the best targeters in the world sitting with us at that center. We will find them, and we will then hand them over to appropriate authorities.
That is incredible. That is so, so wonderful to hear, especially, you know, I'm glad you're out there, because I was speaking with Ann Vandersteel last week on the broadcast. She was telling me that she was getting reports that buses of illegals were dropped into the area just days before the hurricane hit. And then they found children who appeared to have been sexually assaulted. And there was, you know, and this is like 30 children, 6 of them apparently were showing signs of that type of abuse. We need real serious people, not these clowns out there actually assisting the, you know, what you say, providing real security for the people. Have you, what else have you seen out there, Doc?
Well, what I've seen is obviously the American character, which showed up in droves. I mean, it's just amazing to see on that side. What I've seen on the federal government side is complete incompetence. And I would say that obviously there's a lot of conjecture that we could make here, but we're not going to go there right now with this, because we typically measure 3 times to cut once. We will find out who's to blame here, but we've got to prioritize our lines of effort, which are now we're sending units down to Florida to stand by. But the concern for us is that they're going to block the roads of the people coming back in. And there's a lot of information coming up about that. We don't want to play that hand just yet, because we don't want to give away our techniques and practices.
I can appreciate that. So I actually heard that as well. I heard that there were plans to block people from coming back. This is, of course, we've been speaking for the past couple of days about managed retreat on this broadcast, about various different efforts that are tactics, I should say, that are used to declare an area, you know, uninhabitable due to climate disasters and things like that. We see, right, you know, climate change. This is all because of climate change. Mind you, Joe Biden says, oh, we're going to increase the severity and the number of these weather events.
We're going to increase the severity. Exactly. He's telling the truth. So somebody's got their hand on the dial as far as I'm concerned. People say, oh, you're crazy, Doc. I don't care. This is not normal.
Not normal.
Well, let me ask you about Hurricane Martin, because people are saying as well that this is not normal. You know, I was looking at some footage last night. It looks like maybe a second hurricane or a really nasty storm traveling right next to it, apart from the main storm. What are your thoughts on this, right, and how you know, is it going to go where they say it is, or are we going to get an unexpected God knows what?
Well, we remember that earlier, I believe it was last year, they had a storm come up the southern coast of Florida, went in at Fort Myers, took a right-hand turn. It's just not natural. That's not the natural progression of a hurricane. You know, an expert on those things. But I will say that I've been through enough of them to understand it. And, you know, when you hear a hoofbeat, you think about a horse and not a zebra. So there's something obviously wrong with this. And we're going to have to get ahead of it. But, you know, this is fifth generation warfare, as far as I'm concerned. And for us, there's a spiritual aspect to it, and firmly believe that we can pray this, you know, down, but faith without works is dead, and we've got to get after that.
Absolutely agree with you. What about the people on the ground? What have they managed? Have some of them managed to salvage items, salvage their homes? You know, are they going to be able to rebuild? The crew were just playing some B-roll before of Chimney Rock. It's literally, they're saying there's nowhere to rebuild.
Right. It's dependent upon the area, but I'll just say driving through Irwin, Tennessee, and looking at the damage there, there was quite a bit of, recovery, and then cleaning and moving things so we can bring trucks in. And that's the route we came in. We couldn't come in from the southern route because of all the people coming in from Florida that were leaving that hurricane. So we came in the northern route, saw that. There's been quite a bit of cleanup. And then in the town of Marshall, like I said, we've got some active duty troops there, engineer units. That's their job. And they're helping the mayor of Marshall right now as we speak. There are a lot of nuances as to authorities and how they work in the title system. But understand this, that I was a Title 10 soldier, an active duty soldier before when I showed up to various different hurricanes and things. And it's typically we tend to lean towards the side of the locals and not the federal government's bidding. When they come in, they tend to mess things up. And so we just look at them and go, okay, thanks. And then they leave and we do our thing. So that's what's going to happen now.
Well, I want to go back to this, but I wanted to ask you about that specifically because this new revelation just dropped yesterday that the DOD has expanded military intelligence powers in life or death domestic scenarios. And it literally says that I'll go to the InfoWars article because it's a better summary, that they've given them the ability to use lethal force. DOD directive expands domestic military authority to include lethal force. And so it says that in situations that they deem to require it, the military can use lethal force against its own people. And so I know that that's something that you would have never done. That is unconscionable. You know, most soldiers wouldn't. But we have a very different military to the one that we did, say, 6 years ago. Right. Why do you think that they're doing this right before the election, Doc? And are soldiers actually going to go through with this if they're given these orders?
I think we still have enough soldiers in there that are going to do their primary oath. They're going to keep the oath, and they're going to, if you want to use lethal force, use it against the enemies that are domestic, and that's not us. So if I'm going to err on that side, that's where I'm going with this. But, I think that this is just a power play. It's a fear tactic. It is to put the fear in the hearts and minds. It's just like them saying, evacuate your homes and then block the roads and you don't get to come back. Up here, people are going back home because we, the people, are here. And look, they talked about level 2 security. There's not a guy here that doesn't have under level 4 security. So we're providing a better product. And it's just not just me. I got a very small team. But we're securing the area way better than they can, and that's why they're not here. FEMA is hiding behind buildings up here, having lunch and hanging out.
That's great. Yeah. Well, because they're putting out, you know, press releases, and they're getting on with the mainstream media and saying the disinformation is hurting us so much, and you know, people are just getting on with it without them. I said one sheriff chased them out of town. What a hero.
Yeah, right. There was a little commercial from FEMA. I saw a guy named Marty, and he's sitting there with his little sweater on in his office, you know, nice and comfortable because it's cold because he's got an AC on. And he goes, well, just remember, we're from FEMA and we're here to help you. And I just thought, exactly the prophecy that Ronald Reagan gave.
Well, I'm very, very encouraged to hear all of this, and I'm sure the listeners are as well, because as much destruction as the government wants to cause, the people always prevail, and isn't that exactly what's happening here? So in terms of the death toll, Doc, I want to ask you, it's been estimated that it will likely be over 2,000 people that have tragically lost their lives in this. Have you got any word on that? Anyone that's confirmed those numbers for you?
No confirmation. I've heard everything from 2,000 to 10,000. But remember that this is early in the game, and for us on our intel side, our analysts are going out and speaking directly to the local people that live here, the local officials, the county commissioners, and those things. It just takes a while to get that information. But we know that alone, there was one county that locally reported to us 286.
Just one county.
One.
Oh, I don't know if we've lost you there. I want to ask you, Doc, what should people do? Because obviously FEMA is going to turn up in Florida as well. So what should people be doing? It's really fantastic. DeSantis has refused to speak to Kamala Harris. And, you know, there's all of this kerfuffle about this. And it's she's not the president. Why would he speak to the vice president when he's spoken to the alleged president, you know? And there's no need to speak with this lunatic. He's already spoken to Biden. Biden's gone and undermined her and said, you know, DeSantis is doing a good job. But my original question is, what should people in Florida be doing after the storm?
Right. It depends on what zone you're in. Obviously, that answer always depends. But truly, forget about what's happening north of the border of Florida and just focus on your local area, because this is chaos. Control the controllables. These are the things you've got to do. If it's beyond the phase right now to say, well, I'm going to go out and buy a bunch of supplies, you're going to have to figure out who has supplies in your area. And if you can find them, then get them. But that's water. That's basic essentials, nutrition. And then to make sure that you have a system worked out in your neighborhood where you can contact and check on each other. You are your brother's keeper. Remember that. You are your brother's keeper. Yeah. And that's the best advice I can give you if you're in that zone going across the red and yellow on either end. I've got a brother down there right now in Tarpon Springs, Florida. It's coming right directly south of them. He's on the ground. He's staying to be a link up with me as we bring in some boat crews that are going to be waiting, staging in Mississippi right now. And they're standing by to go in. Once that happens, then we'll start falling into that region. So understand, help will come, but they can't come until after it's passed.
Of course. That was going to be my next question. And people shouldn't just wait for that either. They should prepare as much as possible themselves because you just don't know. There are so many variables. I'm hoping, I'm genuinely hoping that with all of the attention that's now on weather modification, they're going to do something and reduce the severity of this thing. I pray they do. Seriously, I don't care if they think it discredits us. I pray they do. I don't know that they will, because I think they want to cause chaos, but I pray they do. What else do people need to know about North Carolina right now?
It's going to be a marathon. This is not going to be a sprint. People are calling me saying, can we bring more supplies? Don't just yet. Keep your supplies standing by to go into Florida too. Find out the specific needs from the guys on the ground like us. I don't run the logistics here, but I'm watching it. And so this is going to have to be staged. We're coming into winter. Think about blankets. Think about water purification. We've got crews that are going to come in here and help teach. These are Green Berets and preventative medicine specialists. We're going to show people how to build tanks to purify their water. That's the number one thing. You can only go, you know, 3 or 4 days without water. But you cannot go with water that's been tainted. And the water,
we're losing you there. I think you were saying you cannot go with water that's been tainted, and then we lost you. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah, so along those lines, our guys have grabbed all the different sources here. We're sending it down to a lab to test it, so we'll be able to tell you specifically. These are things that the federal government should be doing, right? That's called preventative medicine. They're not. So we're doing it ourselves, and we're getting that water out. We're testing it. It's not a sexy job. It's not, you know, the cool guy stuff, but it's what's going to keep people alive. More people we can keep alive doing that than the cool guy coming off the rope off the helicopter.
That's literally, you just raised such a good point. This is what the federal government's supposed to be doing. They're busy whinging on CNN that people are being mean to them. This is literally what they're holding meetings saying we need to prioritize gay people and everyone's being mean to us. That's literally what FEMA's doing.
Well, they're doing that and they're sitting at a little cafe down there in Charlotte, which is not even in the zone, drinking coffee and Mai Tais. So, our latte. Sorry, Mai Tais. They might be drinking Mai Tais. But that's what they're doing right now.
This is unbelievable. That's unbelievable. I'm so glad that everyone watching this today gets to hear this. And I'm asking everyone, share it around so that people know that we still, as people, have the power. We don't have to put up with federal agencies coming in and claiming this, that, and the other. You have the right to return to your home. You have the right to, through your local law enforcement, run these people out of town. Literally,
yes, we do.
Take control back of your communities.
Right, right. Yeah, that's it. I mean, there is a inherent common law, natural law. You have the right to protect yourself. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property. You take care of it. We are stewards. It's in Genesis. We steward this land, and we will. We will continue. And look, these good old boys up here, these people call them rednecks, you know, whatever you want to call them, they can survive. There's a song. Look it up. Country Boy Can Survive. They are. They're the ones cutting with chainsaws. They're the ones moving the equipment in. They're the ones that are doing it. And they're gonna survive. They're hardy with the help of the local committees. But, yeah, this is going to be a marathon. That would be the best thing I can encapsulate the North Carolina condition.
I want to ask you, I heard from Mike Adams that FEMA apparently just delivered pallets and pallets of electric chainsaws to a place that has no power. I don't know if you know whether this is true or not. It actually sounds exactly like something FEMA would do.
Right. Well, first of all, thanks to Mike Adams. He's been coordinating with our guys on the ground here, bringing out food buckets, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's amazing. Good man. Yeah, that doesn't make a lick of sense. I don't know about that particularly. We did bring in chainsaws that were power driven by fossil fuels. Although it's not green, it actually, you know, it does work.
Power driven by fossil fuels. I love that. I love that. They'll blame you for the next rainstorm that happens now because you said that.
Yeah, God forbid we should produce too much carbon dioxide, which trees survive on.
Doc, we've got about 2 minutes left. Just let people give people your final message, what they need to prepare for ahead of this election. Do you see things getting even crazier? And, you know, what do people need to do?
Yeah, this is not a prophecy. This is just a word. There's going to be some challenges ahead. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. Love each other. Operate in a spirit of love and not out of hate, because true love casts out all fear. And just operate and protect yourselves. Know your neighbors. Develop your neighborhood watch programs. And get out there and stand in the gap. And remember, there is an American character. You've got it deep inside of you. Let that shine. Don't let this dark side come in and steal your joy.
That's beautiful and absolutely correct. I love that. There is, that spirit is still in us. It's the spirit that God breathed in us. We don't have to let the darkness overcome us. We don't have to be in that state where they make us fear and not trust anyone. This is something that they want. I've come from Australia. I know what it looks like when people no longer speak to their neighbors because there's no trust. I've seen that. We can never, ever, my advice to the people here is don't ever let yourself get to that stage. And the American people seem to be rising well and truly above these tactics. They are not demoralized. They are still loving their neighbor as they're supposed to, Doc, and you're a perfect example of that. Doc Pete Chambers on X or the Remnant Ministry, TX.org. We're so grateful for you taking some time out today to come and give us an update on all of that. And I'm sure we'll be speaking again after this week when it comes to whatever goes down in Florida as well. Doc, thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, ma'am. Take care.
Well, I'm just so grateful for him. I'm so grateful for people like him. just, and Mike Adams, huge shout out to Mike Adams. He's right. He's given hundreds of thousands of dollars to food delivered to these people to help them. This is what God does. When the enemy is destroying everything, God is there shining a light into it all. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back shortly. The federal government has its purpose. It exists for a reason. Sometimes people say, we don't need the government at all. And my argument is that most people would not survive a week in a state of anarchy. No one actually wants anarchy. People think, well, we don't need them for anything. Well, how are you going to drive places? Maybe you want to ride a horse everywhere. I don't know. Maybe people want to return to that time. But the reality is that government is good if it's run properly. And so I'm certainly not encouraging people to completely ignore the government or even be hostile towards them. But this situation that's unfolding with how useless people on the ground are reporting FEMA to be, Doc Pete Chambers just said they're busy sitting around drinking, you know, coffee at a coffee shop while the community is doing the real work. So it just shows you how the people will always come together and overcome. The answer is always in the people, and we can't let them scare us. I was very encouraged that Doc Pete Chambers said, you know, he believes that there are still very good people in the military who won't turn against their own people. Nonetheless, this, you know, expansion of military intelligence powers is very concerning that they would even put that in there. It is concerning that they would even encourage something like that. And this really is a result of a government at the highest levels that sees us as their enemies. And again, not everyone in government is that way. And perhaps I'm a little bit jaded by my experience with extremely violent police in Australia. But we have to maintain our humanity. And law enforcement, which I am a huge fan of, by the way, I love law enforcement. I think it's very, very necessary in society because the reality is that we don't live in a utopia where everyone does the right thing. Law enforcement done right, it's great. You know, you used to have a world where a police officer would walk down the street and they would just be revered with the ultimate respect. And we want that in society. We want to look at a police officer and think, oh, I'm so grateful that that person is here to keep our community safe. And I know that that still exists in many places. When people maintain their humanity and they don't allow the government to turn each other against one another, that is how you stop it from reaching that level of tyranny. Because I can tell you, and I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago now on the Alex Jones Show, and I said, I come from a place, I issued a warning to Americans. I said, I come from a place where this operation of the New World Order and moving a society towards, you know, essentially socialism is much farther down the track than America is. Now, it's where they want to take this country, but America's not there yet. The people of America are not yet demoralized like so many in Australia. And just to give you an example, you know, there have been a couple of things just yesterday, actually, the Prime Minister of Australia was talking about how they're going to keep the national broadband or the internet in public hands. And I said, whenever you hear public hands, and the government talking about we're going to keep it in the public's hands, that actually means this is going to be government controlled and here is your incoming social credit system when the government tells you that internet is going to be government run. They already work with the telcos and the social media apps and big tech to control everything. When they tell you they're also going to have complete control over the internet because it's in the public's hands, all that means is that you're just paying your taxes to the government for them to weaponize something against you, essentially. And the response from so many Australians who are a fan of this literal embarrassment to Australia named Anthony Albanese, you know, saying, oh, you're crazy and this and that. And I know that there are people, liberals in America, who think this way as well. but it is much more prevalent in Australia. Australia is much more asleep than America. I can say this honestly, and I know that Aussies won't get upset with me for saying this. I'm not talking about the ones who are fighting. There are, the population is overwhelmingly just lulled into a false sense of security, and they've had so many years of having a good life, which is the case in most Western countries. But there has been a demoralization, a turning against your neighbor. It is not, predominantly, it's not a love your neighbor kind of country anymore. So much so that people were gleefully reporting their neighbors during COVID. They couldn't wait, you know, sitting at their windows waiting until someone, look at him. That's, I have to pause. That is Anthony Albanese. That is the Prime Minister of Australia. How can anyone take this person seriously? It's not even funny how ridiculous he is. This is a joke that someone like this would be allegedly running a country. He's a useful puppet. He really is. People were, you know, looking out their windows, spying on their neighbours, waiting for the moment that, oh, I just can't wait to report my neighbour for having their brother over. Raina McIntyre, I'll never forget when she said, make sure that you tape up your doors and your windows from the inside of your house so that just in case you smell your neighbors cooking because you may get COVID. If you can smell your neighbors cooking, so tape up, seal up your windows and your doors with tape so that you don't accidentally smell your neighbors cooking and get COVID. Now, I know that madness went on everywhere and nonsensical things were told to people everywhere. But the Australian population was very, very susceptible to this. And it was because of years and years of being used to a police state. In Australia, you have cars on the side of the road that are unmarked and they monitor your speed. And in the state of Victoria, for example, if you're doing 5 kilometres over, which is like 3 miles, or even 3 kilometres over, which is like 1.5, let's say, or just under 2 miles over the speed limit, these parked vehicles will send you a speeding ticket. They even hide these cameras at one stage, I think they got in trouble for it, but they were hiding them in bins on the side of the road to catch you doing 2 miles over the speed limit. And so naturally, everyone in Australia, at least in the state of Victoria, I can tell you because I've been there, drives like an absolute zombie. They drive 20 kilometres under the limit because they're just terrified of the government catching them doing 2 miles over. And you may think that this is a small thing. But let me tell you, and this is for the Aussies out there as well listening, me driving down a Texan road and I see a car parked that looks like there's no one in it, I immediately panic and frantically am looking at my speedometer to make sure that I'm not, or odometer, to make sure that I'm not traveling more than 2 miles over. It's just ingrained in you, whether you are a fan of the police state or not, it becomes, you become conditioned to it. And I am like the biggest anti-tyranny person in all aspects of my life. And yet it's still seeped into my existence to think, uh-oh, am I going 2 miles over? Now imagine living that way in every aspect of your life. And the way that it happens is slowly and surely, bit by bit, law by law, regulation by regulation, government being this big when it should be this big, department after department. It's shocking. It really hit me recently when I was like, oh my gosh, look how conditioned I've been by this nanny state that I was living in. It's crazy. And what people don't realize is that as it slowly, slowly creeps in, like, for example, I know that there are some states in America that have much more restrictive gun laws than other states. those restrictions shouldn't exist when you have a Second Amendment. I know that Congressman Massey right now is fighting very, very hard to make sure that there are better and freer gun laws all over the country in every single state. There should not be these types of restrictions in any state. But when the people allow it, when the people don't fight back against it, when you have the masses just sitting back and going, oh, well, you know, and you think you live in a free, a safe society and you don't, you may not need those guns until they come and they drop off a, you know, busloads of Trender Agua in your neighborhood and they start taking over your apartment buildings and come to your door at gunpoint threatening you. You need the ability to protect yourself. Do you have any idea what it's like living in a country where you don't have the right to protect yourself? Let me tell you how far it goes if you allow these people to control your right to protect yourself. In Australia, if someone breaks into your home and comes in with a baseball bat, for example, and all you have is a knife, which, by the way, they're also illegal now too, and all you have is a knife to stop this person from beating you to death, if you happen to injure or, God forbid, you know, use lethal force against that person, no one actually wants to use lethal force against anyone. No one wants to do that. But God forbid, if this person was about to beat you to death and you defended yourself with a knife, you would go to prison. You would go to prison. Because you haven't used equal force against that person. You don't have the right to defend yourself effectively in that country. There are many countries like that. In the UK, I just saw in Germany, I should have sent the team this interview. Didn't know I was going to talk about this. In Germany right now, they are teaching people, they're having towel slapping classes. They have someone posing as a migrant with a sharp knife, and they're going and stabbing the person, and they're teaching people how to defend themselves with wet towels. They don't want you to have the ability to defend yourself. They want chaos. They want destruction. This is the New World Order. America's not exempt from the things they want. Here it is. Here's the video. For the radio listeners, you need to get back on Band or Video later and watch this video. Look at this. Look, there's someone with a knife. I don't know if the towel's wet. I don't know why I said wet. He's teaching. You slap the assailant away with a long towel, guys. That's going to help you. This is what they want for America. This is what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want to do to America. They want to make it so that you don't have a way to defend yourself. You've got to slap an assailant, a dangerous criminal, a terrorist that's entered through a wide open border with a towel. To defend your wife, to defend your children, to defend your life. Imagine a man from Louisiana, which has fantastic gun laws, being reduced to defending his family with a towel, slapping a criminal over the face with a towel. Imagine that. That is unimaginable in America. And I'm not saying that you're going to let them get away with this. I'm telling you where they will take it if the people do end up letting them get away with it. We're going to go to a quick word from Alex Jones, and then I'm going to get started on what I promised I would cover while I'm here this week, which was a very, very eye-opening interview for me, even with everything that I know that I just did with researchers Hope and Tavon. So let's hear from Alex, and then we'll get cracking.
Just like our information's game-changing and tomorrow's is today, this is probably the ultimate superfood out there from one of the best sources, and it supports the broadcast, A360 Win. So get the hoodies, get the T-shirts, check out all the new great designs, new ones being added daily. Get Ultimate Sea Moss. Check out some of the other amazing supplements while you're there at thealexjonesstore.com. And then we're going to be able to stay on air in the face of the New World Order. It's amazing. Take action now. Ultimate Sea Moss, 40% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Before we get into, I think I might start it in the next hour. I want to finish up on these absolute crazy people that are running the government. And we'll get into the Mark of the Beast stuff in the next hour because it's really heavy and I need to take some time to walk people through it. I found this song of Kamala Harris and I don't think it looks like AI. I think she really put this thing out. So let's just look at this Kamala Harris song that is destroying the country, wants to take away your ability to defend yourself, wants you to be, living in a socialist society where they take, stop price gouging, which is essentially the government setting limits and making sure that they have their preferred suppliers and that they price out farmers and destroy the agriculture industry and destroy small business and so on and so forth. An extension of what they did during COVID, or an acceleration, if you will. These are the types of people that are destroying the West and destroying the world. Not all leaders are destroying their countries around the world, but certainly all Western leaders are. Let's play clip two.
A presidential song for anyone. One Nation Under a Groove by Funkadelic. One nation under a groove, getting down just for the funk of it. Can I get it on the...
I'm sorry that I put you through that. We have her doing these videos. I don't know when she did it. I don't understand why she did that. I don't understand leaders who make themselves look stupid like this, but I suppose it appeals to liberals who think that life's just a big bundle of jokes and feelings. And how they feel about themselves, using emotive language but not actually achieving anything. I don't find this appealing. I find this embarrassing. And there was a tweet actually re Kamala and DeSantis clips, picture six, where there was a liberal, she's, involved in the Democratic Party, and she's saying women are too emotional to lead, trying to make a point where Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has refused to take a call with Vice President Kamala Harris regarding Hurricane Milton. And this Democrat is trying to say that DeSantis is emotional because he didn't take a call from a woman. His leadership ability does not require him to take a call from the vice president. This woman is not the president. Joe Biden is the president, who, by the way, said, great job. Joe Biden sidesteps Kamala Harris call controversy, extols Governor DeSantis' storm performance. Speaking on Hurricane Milton preparations, President Joe Biden had nothing but nice things to say about a frequent critic from Florida, saying he was doing a great job. The governor of Florida has been cooperative. He said he's gotten all that he needs. I talked to him again yesterday, Biden said. I literally gave him my personal phone number to call. Now, of course, this follows Biden being caught carrying a MAGA cap, putting a MAGA cap on recently again. We think that he's, undermining Kamala because of the coup. But why should Kamala Harris, I'm going to ask these liberals, these brain-fried liberals who are probably so injected that there's, very little brain matter left. I'm going to ask them, what business does Kamala Harris have calling Ron DeSantis? Is she trying to learn how to be a leader, like trying to get some experience in, a couple of months of work experience so she can add it to her resume? I've been involved in these crises. I've been there on the ground. I've been involved in the Florida disaster management response. So she can tell people what a great president she'll be, or a great president she's pretending to be. What business does Ron DeSantis have taking the call from a vice president if he's already spoken to the person we're being told is the president? What is your logic, liberal? And no, women shouldn't lead a country. People get upset with me when I say that. I don't think they should. It's been disastrous in almost every circumstance. I'm not saying that the men in leadership right now are doing a better job. I believe in good, strong family men leading a country, certainly not this person who couldn't complete a coherent sentence if her life depended on it. She does not belong anywhere in leadership. She belongs, I was going to say in a basement, but I don't. Just get her away from the public. It's embarrassing. Well, after the break, we're going to talk about the digital ID scheme that's currently making strides in Congress, how this links up to the recent revelations about the Mark of the Beast technology that seems to be accelerating very, very quickly. And I'll play you some of my recent interview on that. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Well, I always say that the goal really isn't, you know, you hear the term follow the money. And yes, that gives us some clues. And of course, they think that they can, by amassing all the riches of the world, they're somehow achieving something. The reality is you don't take any of it with you when you cross over into eternity. And whether you go up or down is your choice. But money is a clue, but it's not the ultimate motive. The ultimate motive is the New World Order agenda that they're serving, which is ultimately, at the end of the day, because they want to achieve the Mark of the Beast. Now, for anyone watching that doesn't understand that or doesn't believe that, you don't even have to believe it. If you want to know your enemy and understand your enemy, you have to know what they believe. And they absolutely believe that the Antichrist will be their God. It's going to be a great time. If you've ever studied what these Satanists actually believe, they think that he was somehow this hard done by angel, and God's a tyrant, and they're going to rule the world like gods because they have this, you know, super powerful being here that they serve. And his ultimate goal is to get people to not be able to buy or sell without his mark. Now, a series of events, you know, maybe we have some dispensationalists watching this. Maybe we have some cessationists watching this, non-dispensationalists, you know, people that view the book of Revelation differently. I'm personally Eastern Orthodox, so that book isn't necessarily, in my view and in the Orthodox Church's view, a dispensational book. It is a kind of a flowing timeline, if you will. It's not how a lot of people read it in sort of chronological order, okay? Regardless of those differing understandings of the book of Revelation, most Christians understand there will be a man who comes into the world. He's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to make a 7-year peace treaty, and then halfway through he's going to break it. Then he's going to make war on the Christians, and he's going to kill a lot of folk. That is the goal. Now, if you may not be a Christian, that's okay. It's important that you understand that the enemies that are waging war on us are actually of the same belief as Christians, but they think that they're somehow doing the right thing by doing this. Maybe not necessarily the right thing, but the thing that is necessary to bring about this. And in many ways, the New World Order is actively doing things to accelerate the progress of these Christian prophecies. And it's only Christianity that they believe, by the way. The New World Order does not believe that Islam is the truth. They do not believe that Judaism is the truth. The New World Order believes that Christianity is the truth, and that is why it's the biggest enemy of it. And so this is what prophecies they're actually attacking, yet they think it's going to be some sort of magnificent reign of the devil on earth, and they're just going to, you know, party forever in heaven with Satan. Meanwhile, they're going to be burning and tortured at levels that they can't even fathom. So I really hope Bill Gates repents while he has time, seriously. You know, and if we have any of these freaks watching this today, you have no idea what kind of hellfire is awaiting you. You really got to rethink your loyalty. So this spiritual battle is very real. And when people talk about this as a spiritual battle, that is what it means. Again, you don't have to believe these things. You just have to understand that your enemy does believe them. And so after the break, we're going to talk about the progress that's been made, the very real progress towards the mark of the beast technology, and what people need to be aware of in terms of the conditioning that's going on to desensitize us to this, like they do with everything else, so that when the time comes, the confliction that we feel will be easier to overcome for them. Don't go anywhere. At the very tops of the power structure of the New World Order, I dare say if we know their names, they're not it. And certainly at the very, very tops of the power structure, there are entities, spiritual entities. These aren't... And there are humans that are either completely influenced or even possessed by these entities. This really is, when you hear this is a spiritual war, it really seriously is. These people are serving a purpose, a very specific purpose. And don't get me wrong, they enjoy to cause chaos and destruction and death and sickness and whatever other harm they can to humanity in the process, because Satan is very jealous of human beings. We're made in God's image. We have the ability to repent. He does not. We get the ability to go to heaven because God sent his Savior. Satan doesn't have access to that option. And he knows his time is short. And he's worked very, very hard for thousands of years, and we shouldn't underestimate him. He's a serious enemy. He's worked very, very hard for thousands of years to fool the people in the world who seek power. And of course, there are different levels of understanding out of these people, just like the early stages of Freemasonry. You really have no idea what you're doing for the most part. It really is just a community, a fraternity, a brotherhood. They help community. They're involved in community organizations. They help out with stuff. They get involved. They do, even in some cases, good things around the community. It really is only as you go to the higher levels of Freemasonry that you start to realize, you know, I think in Morals and Dogma, I think it's, he said level 13 or 15 is when you start to sort of realize who it is that you're actually serving. And then going all the way up, you will find that the situation is very, very different, what these people are actually exposed to, the sacrifices that they do, that they're required to do. I'm certain that everyone watching this understands this by now. But what I'm trying to say is that the devil is so clever when it comes to his deceitful nature that you have people involved in this seriously satanic cult known as Freemasonry at the lower levels who have no idea what's going on as you progress up the ladder. And they don't even understand that they are serving a satanic organization. They don't get it. They don't have this concept because they don't see it, and they are not satanic themselves, actually. And so I just did an interview with these two researchers from Morocco. Their names are Hope and Tavon. They're good friends of mine, and they're really incredible researchers when it comes to the areas of technology. Tavon is himself, former military background, very, very talented people when it comes to assessing energy, and, you know, they know a lot about alternative energy solutions and things of this nature, but I ask them to occasionally prepare presentations for me on some of the progressions that are being made in the realm of synthetic biology, the wireless body area network, and these sorts of things. So let me just define a few of these terms for you for anyone that isn't familiar. Synthetic biology is the introduction of or the modification of natural biology to incorporate synthetic cells, synthetic materials into our body, into our cells, changing our cells, even to the point where they want synthetic neurons. And they say that, you know, nanotechnology can go in and actually replace your neurons with synthetic neurons. And that's the way that they say that organizations like RAND Corporation say we'll be able to actually control human beings and manipulate them in ways that they don't even know, that think do things that they would never be able to, we'd never be able to convince them to do. So it applies, you can see there from Wikipedia, it applies engineering principles to develop new biological parts, devices and systems to redesign existing systems found in nature. That includes the human body. That includes the human body. And the wireless body area network, a very controversial and widely debated topic, is really, you know, on basically what it sounds like. It is using the body like a WLAN, except with a body. It's using the body to be connected with the internet. They plan on utilizing human beings as human antennas. In fact, maybe while I'm talking, oh, that's a good one. Patent 060606, cryptocurrency system using body activity data. That's a Bill Gates patent, where they plan to use your body's data to essentially mine cryptocurrency. And so in the AI World Society, the UN's AI World Society documents, they actually talk about that. And they say that based on your behavior, once you're in this, you know, perpetual state of metaverse living, where you're essentially in a mixed reality universe, your body's connected to the internet, it's part of the internet, so are your thoughts, everyone knows what you're thinking and doing at all times, and we're all just, you know, married to the AI. And they say that based on your behavior, you'll be awarded with credits. And it's not a social credit system. You just don't get paid your cryptocurrency unless you're doing exactly what is required of you, deemed acceptable by the AI World Society. And of course, they will reward debauchery. Of course, they will penalize anything good and wholesome, like having a family. And this is the existence that they plan on transitioning us into. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm not saying they'll be completely successful in every aspect of this, but it's important to understand where they want to take it. And so if the crew can just look up while I'm talking, using the human body as an antenna to power up 6G. They've even spoken about how the human body will actually be used as an energy source to power up 6G once we move past 5G. Now, there are some people who think 5G is as far as it goes and the rest is just sort of propaganda. They've actually gotten to those final stages already through 5G. But I don't know, you know, whether I necessarily agree with that. Here we go. Human body can help power 6G devices as antennas in future. Boost signal, show study. Can you imagine the... already with how harmful all of the EMF around us is to our bodies. And, you know, I did an interview quite some time ago with a Norwegian guy who was studying the difference. The population where he was from was very, very highly injected, and people in the countryside were just as injected as people in the city. And yet the city was exploding with turbo cancer, but the country wasn't. And a big part of that is because there were no towers. There were no 5G towers, or very limited towers in the country. So this stuff makes a difference. And I have a theory that 5G and all of the signals that they're able to send, whether through the satellite networks or 5G or all of it combined, are actually able to activate certain sicknesses in populations who are highly injected. This is my theory. I can't prove it. But certainly we have researchers, Lisa McGee, who's working with attorney Todd Callender, who's proven that there is actually a database, which is just code. It's code that AI can write that can program illnesses into people remotely. And there are it's managed by the Department of Energy, actually. So very, very interesting stuff when you start to look at synthetic illnesses, digital illnesses, digital illnesses, because they say that they'll be able to heal us remotely through all these nanobots and these sensors. And, you know, they'll be able to heal us remotely. And what makes us think that they wouldn't weaponize that against us? That what you're looking at right now is a nano delivery. And I think that's a microneedle patch, or at least a form of it. And what many people don't know is that the microneedle patches are actually covered in a layer of hydrogel. Hydrogel is the carrier for the graphene, which of course is a superconductor. It's like a miracle material for these guys. And hydrogel, the hydrogel coating holds that, and it actually contains something called HDMAP in it, which allows either the manufacturer or the government to know exactly where that quote-unquote vaccine is at any given time. They can mail it to you. As you would recall, when we looked at those biodefense documents last week, the U.S. Postal Service is going to be involved in future pandemic management, apparently, and biodefense and things like that, because they'll be responsible for delivering these microneedle patches to you, which they know once it's gone into your body exactly where it is, where it can be directed, and can definitely be directed remotely. And I want to give you an idea of how old this technology is. Team, I sent you a tweet that I did, a breaking investigation into Ido Bachelet of Bar-Ilan University. It's a thread. If you can bring that up, and we'll take the viewers through that very briefly before I take them through some of these clips. Bar-Ilan University is a university in Israel. Ido Bachelet of Bar-Ilan is a scientist at that university. And so in 2015, I've actually done a video on this, but I'll just take you through these tweets. In 2015, Pfizer partnered with Bar-Ilan University in Israel, who had developed programmable nanobots that are injected into people to alter their DNA, issue them with an IP address, and connect them to the internet. You can see in that presentation, Ido Bachelet says, this syringe, if you can bring it back up, team, this syringe has in it 1,000 billion robots, okay? So he actually says in that little syringe that he's holding back in 2013 was actually the partnership with Pfizer happened in 2015. This presentation is from 2013. So in 2013, more than 10 years ago, he was already saying we can fit 1,000 billion robots into this little vaccine. Let's keep going with the thread number two. It says that Bar-Ilan, in 2013, Bar-Ilan scientist Ido Bachelet gave a presentation showing the nanobots under a microscope, which look precisely like what Z-Media has been uncovering through our investigations for 3+ years of the COVID injection contents under the microscope, and many doctors have incorrectly dismissed as salt crystals. Next part of that tweet, please. It says, in his presentation, Bachelet bragged about how they ensure they don't lose control of the nanorobots after they've been injected into people. He goes on to say that the controller is connected to the internet like an Xbox. So he says, if you think about them having, you know, them having like a controller over your body, these nanobots are inside of you. They make sure that they don't lose control of these robots once they're inside of you. 1,000 billion robots in one injection. Remember that. And they compare it to having like an Xbox controller, and your nanobots are connected to the internet, which consequently means so are you. And they're connected to the internet. And now they can do whatever they want inside your body. 2013. Let's keep going. That the controller actually links these nanobots to the network. That's what Ido Bachelet said. They get linked. These nanobots get linked to the network. We'll keep going. That they have an actual IP address. Do you remember that phenomenon of people finding MAC addresses amongst the injected population? And, you know, people saying, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. Okay, well, Ido Bachelet of Bar-Ilan University that partnered with Pfizer in 2015 is saying, once we inject you with these nanorobots, which we do through vaccines, they're issued an IP address. Let's keep going. And that they can be accessed remotely. So he says these nanobots can then be accessed remotely. Next tweet, please. Next part of the thread, I should say. Bachelet in 2013 bragged about how they can control these nanorobots like with a joystick to release payloads into humans. In 2015, Pfizer announced their partnership with Ido Bachelet of Bar-Ilan. They said that Pfizer is cooperating with the DNA robot laboratory managed by Professor Ido Bachelet at Bar-Ilan University. He's developed a method of producing innovative DNA molecules with characteristics that can be used to program them to reach specific locations in the body. Let's go to the next tweet, please. There was another, that was just another announcement. Okay, and then I linked to the investigation that I did. So that's up on Band and Z Media if you want to watch the video breaking investigation. Team, if you can just bring that up so I can reference, bring up that last post in that thread for me so I can tell people what to search up. Pfizer's nanorobots or something, Pfizer's nanobots, just so I can give people a terms of reference to search. Number 10 in that thread, please. So while the team looks for that, I did a video version of it. I presented it. I encourage everyone to watch that because this is scientists that have actually partnered with Pfizer. Here we go. Pfizer's secret vaccine nanobots to upload humans to the internet. That's the name of that video. So go watch it, please. All share what I'm talking to you now because this goes the next step, right? So think about when you think about this ability of these people to do this and you think about what someone like Pfizer, the biggest criminal organization in the history of mankind, would do with that type of technology in their hands and government backing and, you know, liability shields and God knows what else. What would someone like Albert Bourla do with that sort of technology in his hands when they say their stated goal is to depopulate and, you know, make us sick and dependent on the pharmaceutical industry forever? They would weaponize that. I'm not saying Ido Bachelet's intentions were bad. He says that that's, you know, they can do this to release payloads that can fight disease. But the same way, just like they claim that gain-of-function research is for the purpose of identifying potential pandemics so that they can fight viruses, these things are dual use. And nanobots are definitely dual use. But they have very serious plans to inject us with sensors, and not just inject us, by the way. They're doing it through the air, through the food, and all sorts of things. They have very serious plans, and you can look at Ray Kurzweil talking about the fact that by 2030, we're going to be full of these nanobots. He said it to Neil deGrasse Tyson recently. And so he says, we're not quite ready yet, but by 2030, we will be. Well, we've got just a few years until 2030. You would think that something that complex, you would have at least tested by now, right? Well, I think they already have through the COVID injections. And I think that that was the first time that they've directly injected something like this into humanity. And we've got multiple people that have been finding this stuff under the microscope. And, you know, I won't take you through all of those clips, but we've seen robotic arms. We've seen the strangest stuff. Mike Adams, you've seen him do these analysis on these white structures in studio, in InfoWars. And so the evidence that something very sinister was done, apart from the harm that the shots cause and apart from just the spike protein, is definitely there. Okay. So they have a plan to utilize nanotechnology for health and, you know, eventually the way that, say, for example, Biodigital Convergence, which is a Policy Horizons Canada publication, it's an official Government of Canada publication, you know, they describe how you'll wake up in the morning and your AI assistant will be able to sense everything in your body because you've got all these biosensors, right? And so your AI assistant will be able to tell you, you know, what nutrients you need and what meal you're going to 3D print today and so on and so forth. So throughout this interview with Hope and Tavon, we found something called molecular communication. It seems that they've made very, very large strides in molecular communication. And I'm going to play you some of those clips now. Let's go to clip 15.
Summary. The authors talk about using molecular communication, which is a natural process in which all living molecules use. It's a biochemical process to relay information in biology. That's basically what it is. But they're using the advancements in wireless technology and actively researching molecular communication as a paradigm shift in using the technology to communicate with human beings, you know, for their transhumanist agenda. Now, the primary application, like in a lot of the succeeding papers after this, is how this can be used to address human health. Yeah, the perspective of all of this, in order for it to be digestive, even in the academic community, is it has to be for human health. We know it's not for human health, but that's the angle they pitch it at.
Yes, yes, it's optimum health. So again, molecular communication is a natural process that happens in biology, but they are essentially trying to hack all natural biological processes and insert synthetic biology into it. And so this group that they're talking about, they're having a conference later this month, and the IEEE is involved in this. The IEEE sets standards. You can actually look at some of their standards. It's fascinating stuff. So you know how, for example, you have ISO standards, like quality control standards for, you know, customer service or food or whatever the case may be, you can look at ISO standards, which set the standards for industry. Well, the IEEE sets the standards for multiple things where the internet is concerned, including the standards for the use of the human body and the internet and being intertwined with the internet and using it to power the internet and so on and so forth. You will find some fascinating things on the IEEE website. So this conference is about how they are now going to hijack the process of molecular communication, essentially, to achieve their transhumanism goals. Let's go to clip 16.
Okay. And then the last one, the one on the right, is, again, using bacteria that's within a hydrogel matrix. And this hydrogel matrix is attached to a gold electrode. And the bacteria or these things would act as transmitters or receivers of information or molecules. And that will turn into an electrical signal that would be picked up by the gold electrode.
So could that be what we just looked at up here on this slide with the hydrogel and then these capsules inside of it?
So as you can see, and this is not these researchers that I'm referencing making this stuff up. This is what the IEEE and the participants of these conferences are talking about. They're talking about hacking biological processes, inserting synthetic biology into these biological processes, the use of hydrogel, which is a great carrier of graphene, as I mentioned before, and putting this inside our bodies, because they genuinely, completely intend to link us to the AI hive mind, which, by the way, I believe, to just go back to theological or doctrinal angle, I actually believe that this is the kingdom that the prophet Daniel spoke about when he spoke about the kingdom of iron and clay that would come in the last days, but it would not succeed because iron and clay can't really be mixed, nanotech and clay being the human. This is the way that I see this. I may be wrong, but it certainly will give them unprecedented control over the human being and human thinking if they succeed with this. It's terrifying. So we're going to talk more about the revelations from this, including the conditioning for the Mark of the Beast through this technology, right after the break. Don't go anywhere. Home stretch, folks. Alex Jones is coming up in less than half an hour. We've been talking about the conditioning of humanity to accept and get to the point of the Mark of the Beast. And people think that it's going to be, and you know, some sort of clear-cut, unexpected decision. They think, well, they'll be told that without this mark, you know, as part of accepting this mark, it is an act of worship, and I understand that. But I also understand the many, many, many compromises that we make before we get to that stage. Digital ID is one of them, by the way, which we will talk about in a minute. But I want to continue with this presentation. Let's go to clip 18, please.
Okay, as you can see on the right, you see MC devices, molecular communication devices. In the paper, he goes into specifics on what they are. Basically, these are the genetically engineered E. coli bacteria that have something in them that makes them do specific tasks, or they would have real robot systems inside of the E. coli that are acting as sensors, that make the E. coli act as sensors. Then the question becomes, how do you have something completely artificial inside bacteria? And that's where you can go into all these different directions of what's possible with this technology.
So the crew's just brought up an image of where you can watch that full interview, that full presentation. It's on band.video, Hope and Tavon, Mark of the Beast Technology Exposed. You can also find it on zeemedia.com, or one word. Now, he's talking about weaponized and engineered E. coli devices. And again, what is the capability of this technology when it's in the hands of very bad actors who we know we are dealing with, at least in the pharmaceutical industry, but the pharmaceutical industry that's actually working with the globalists to achieve these goals. Now we're going to go to clip 17.
So this paper that was written in 2019 is basically describing everything that they're going to be talking about and working on at this conference this October, which is all focused on molecular communication and how they want to screw with your molecular
communication. And because it was written in 2019, before the nastiness of 2020 and beyond, it's kind of is written in kind of a fresh perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So
we can end that. We can end that one there. I should have played that one at the start. That's okay. So again, a molecular biology paper, or how they are going to utilize or embed synthetic biology or replace molecular biology with synthetic biology, all the way back in 2019. And again, I remind you, Ray Kurzweil told Neil deGrasse Tyson, we'll have this perfected by 2030, which means when they tell you the technology will be ready for public release and perfection by 2030, that means they've been working on it for decades at minimum. And at minimum, they have this ready 20, 30 years before they're ready to deploy. And so 2030 is a key point for them, because per the UN themselves, they say in their, there's a web page called UN 75, An Unexpected Message from the Future. And they say, you know, Vinton Cerf, the evangelist of the internet, was playing around with some extremely high frequencies when he received a message from some unknown entity from the year 2045. And they say in there that it was the year 2020 that we realized we have to go really hard with climate change to survive as a species. And so that's why we have to eat less meat. That's why we have to travel less. That's why we have to be relocated out of rural areas into smart cities, into sustainable development cities where we have multifamily homes. I've seen some publications that talk about 1.5 people per pod. So that is, you know, I don't know, you and maybe half your child. I don't really know what they mean by that. Thank you for the crew for bringing up that UN 75 page. I won't read it, but if you want to look at it, go to paragraph 2 and read it from there. Vinton Cerf is who they call the evangelist of the internet, which is a very, very interesting name. They always use this, you know, evangelist of the internet, covenant of mares. They use these very religious terms. Actually, it's paragraph 3, I correct myself, where they say this, where they say, you know, I was experimenting with some high frequency receivers and so on and so forth. And then in paragraph 4 is where they say, you know, we're from the year 2045 and good on you, and, you know, go really hard with climate change, essentially. The crisis of global warming and its side effects. That's when we 2020 is when we realized we've got to do this. This is some demon talking to him through frequencies, and he's saying, okay, let's do this worldwide, because someone sent me a message from the future. It's the most bizarre thing. The UN is incredibly Luciferian. And so when you look at some of these progressions that they are making, and some of these conferences that they're holding and the discussions that they're having of the capabilities of this nanotechnology, it's fascinating. But I want to play you this last clip that I want to air from that interview, and then I encourage everyone to watch it in full. It's clip 19, where I go, oh my gosh, this looks like the mark of the beast. Let's go to clip 19. I'm just thinking about, because this is something, when I think specifically on the mark of the beast, it's something that people will decide and choose to get. So they could very well be building this system now, so that when the time comes to choose it, it's not an overtly, you know, It's not something that people aren't used to. It's not something that people will feel like is a huge leap forward. So they're getting people used to this sort of stuff so that once you're used to having your bio cyber interface on your right hand, it'll be really, really easy to just go that next step. That's how I'm seeing this.
And I'm glad you brought that up.
There's something very, very crucial there about the right hand that we uncovered in that presentation. I'm going to break it down. I love that Alex and InfoWars are always innovating in this area. You know, there is a really big, serious reason why there's such an attack on natural supplements. New Zealand, Australia, they're all working to ban this stuff. Why? Well, because they want it all to be replaced with synthetic items that are not actually good for your health, not good for your body at all. So we're actually very blessed to have these options while we still can. And hopefully when people realize how serious the agenda is, they will be able to put a stop to it when it comes to all of this genetic modification and nonsense that we're talking about. So in that last clip, I made a couple of points, but I want to, if the team can bring up that graphic, zoom in on it. I want to show you what I'm looking at. If you can zoom in more to the human. Okay, just stop there. Stop there. So this graphic is, again, it's from this paper that was published in 2019. The IEEE is involved, which I told you, sets the standards for, you know, the internet of everything, the control of the human, the internet integrating with the human, so on and so forth. So if we zoom in again to that graphic, crew, you can see the on the right-hand side is how they're talking about integrating synthetic biology. You can actually see, if you look at that middle section where it says molecular scale, and then to the right, the next graphic is synthetic biology. And then it says engineered cell communication, which interfaces with electronics. Okay, so they are saying to you there's a molecular information exchange occurring that integrates with or has a relationship with the synthetic biology, which then is, has a relationship with your engineered cell communication, which interfaces with electronics. And of course, the goal is to eventually none of us have smartphones, or smartphones will be integrated with us. All of the technology, the internet, absolutely everything will be integrated with us. And by the way, some transhumanists think it's really great. They're like, oh, just like AI, you can ask it a question and it can do research in just seconds. It's going to be really great for me to have that ability. But of course, they want human beings to be useless, unemployed on a UBI, and they plan to replace employment with a UBI. And they actually plan to reward you with digital currency when you contribute to expanding the digital world known as the AI World Society through your creativity and integration with AI. I know this all sounds very convoluted, but this is literally what the United Nations has published in their book, Remaking the World Towards an Age of Global Enlightenment. It's actually the UN 100 run by the Boston Global Forum, headed up by Michael Dukakis. It's all very strange. Anyway, so they say that you won't work. You will be contributing to expanding the digital world, because Satan can't make a real world, so he's getting you to make his digital realm for him. And that's how you will mine the cryptocurrency with your body data, patent 060606, through the ways that you expand the metaverse. You inject your ideas into the metaverse, and you say build a center for gay children, right? Because this is the kinds of things that they want you to build. You'll earn cryptocurrency if you do that. But say you build a community center for traditional families, you won't be rewarded with digital currency for that. And bear in mind, they literally, this is like think of Minecraft, you know, where you go in and you build a world. This is how they want you to build their AI world society in the digital realm and contribute to it. It's really, really creepy. But this is their legitimate plans. They want the world to look exactly like this by 2045 at the latest. And you can see the accelerated steps that they're taking through, you know, talking about banning fuel cars, talking about digital ID, cryptocurrency, this, that, and the other. And this is why I'm very wary of crypto. I know it has its benefits, but when you are talking about a completely controlled crypto, you're talking about ultimate control, right? So if we just zoom into that graphic again, please. I want to show you what alarmed me the most. So I know all about synthetic biology. I mean, in terms of I've done a lot of research on this, and I understand that you'll have sensors all through your body and it'll communicate with the hive mind. And, you know, I get it. What I didn't know was that the right hand, the right side of the body and the right hand was going to be crucial for this. And this is what we've just uncovered. So zoom in real close, crew, to that human on the top right-hand corner, if you can. You've got your engineered cells, your engineered microbes, and the bio-cyber interface in the human's right hand. And if you just scroll up a little bit on the graphic, you can see this, all of these engineered microbes and cells and everything that they plan on engineering goes all the way up the right side of the body to your head. And the key point is that your bio-cyber interface is in your right hand. Now, in that graphic, it may look like it's a wearable device. Eventually, they plan to embed it. What does the Bible say about where the mark of the beast will be? It'll be in your right hand or your forehead, it says. So these guys that are talking about a system where you have a digital currency, where you can't buy or sell real world currency, you won't have real world currency, you can't buy or sell without this mark of the beast, and it's going to be in your right hand or in your forehead, as we're told. These people that say that all of this is going to be embedded and your entire life is going to be integrated with the internet and digital ID, and your digital ID will connect to your digital currency, and people think social credit system when they think about all of this. But these people that are working on this technology, working on changing who you are inside, these transhumanists, plan for your bio-cyber interface to be on the right side of your body and in your right hand. This is really serious because these are very, very real progressions that are being made when it comes to the quantum physics realm, when it comes to the Internet of Bodies, the Internet of Everything. They're all using IEEE standards to guide their work. And these guys are telling us your bio-cyber interface is going to be here. So I'm not saying that someone who gets a COVID injection is necessarily has taken the mark of the beast. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that someone who gets a digital ID has taken the mark of the beast. I'm not even saying that someone who gets a bio-cyber interface in their right hand necessarily has the mark of the beast. What I am saying is that all of these are very, very strong conditioning tools. And if the team can actually look up Saint Paisio vaccine prophecy, please. Saint Paisio vaccine prophecy. I want to show you a very, very prolific end times monk who had an end times prophecy gift. And I want to show you what he said about the COVID injections, we think, he said about a vaccine, all the way back in the late 80s. And I'll show you that in a moment. But some of the other things that are happening at the moment, digital ID schemes make strides in Congress despite rights advocate opposition. This is happening in the US as we speak. It's one of the commandments of the global organizations like the UN and the World Bank, to name but two, and also those less official ones like the WEF and the Gates Foundation, the digital ID. In the US, lawmakers have for years been struggling with the concept, heavily criticized by rights advocates for its ability to take mass surveillance to the next level. And at the state level, the push is mostly focused on mobile driver's licenses. At the federal level, they are all the proponents of the schemes who insist that the unprecedented centralization of personal information will provide for more trust and security, want things to start moving faster as well at the federal level. So one of the main cheerleaders is Congressman Bill Foster, who's a Democrat. And he introduced a bill that, if adopted, would produce something called the Improving Digital ID, Digital Identity Act. So that would set up an Improving Digital Identity Task Force, which would operate as part of the president's executive office, so on and so forth. Okay, so I know about digital ID because I've just come from a country that has already implemented it. And they said this is going to be voluntary and you don't have to have one. And 3 days after they passed that legislation, an electrician tried to renew his license and he was told, you cannot without a digital ID. And so this person had to argue, because the legislation says this is, it's voluntary. He had to argue, and eventually he got to get his license without a digital ID, and he was able to go back to work. For those few days that he was arguing, this man could not earn money. So digital ID will eventually be weaponized against you, that unless you do what the government says, you cannot have access to income, money, so on and so forth, just like we saw with the COVID injection. Saint Paisios of Mount Athos, if I'm not mistaken, this prophecy was given in the year 89, and it was first published in either 91 or 94. Either way, he spoke about it in the late 80s. It was published in the early 90s. And he said all the way back then, ladies and gentlemen, more than 30 years before it happened, now a vaccine has been developed to combat a new disease, which will be obligatory, and those taking it will be marked. Now, people who understand prophecy and have studied his work have said, and I've had Father Peter Hears on the Alex Jones Show with me in the past. He's an amazing priest out of Arizona. And he said he did not mean the mark of the beast. That's not what his prophecy means. But there is a type of mark that happened through that vaccine, through that act of compliance. People had a type of mark just like that. Through compliance with a digital ID, people will have a type of mark. As with consuming genetically modified foods that have the ability to assist with the molecular biology, synthetic biology process, that is a type of mark. I'm not saying it in the same sense that Saint Paisios is saying. He's obviously saying there's something very specific that makes you be marked, whether spiritually or whatever the case may be, from complying with the COVID injections. Similar warnings have been given by monks over there in Greece about not complying with digital ID cards in Greece. Because what happens, and I was listening to this wonderful monk speaking one day, what happens is you sear your conscience, you are conditioned to comply with every little step that these people take. Will the bio-cyber interface be the mark? I don't know. But what I do know is that all of this technology is definitely leading to the same place, and this is the first time we've seen an indication of something like this in the right hand, apart from the sort of RFID chip, which I don't think it's going to be that, to be honest with you. I think it'll be something a lot less invasive, like sensors that can form inside our body. And so I hope that this has served as a warning, and a warning to people to rethink how they can survive outside of this system. I believe God will look after us. I don't think that he's going to leave us stranded to a point where we can't survive without complying with this system, just like you go to the gym to train your muscles, the same way you train yourself to not comply with the beast system. Get your gold and silver, get your food, get your families ready, become self-sufficient. And I hope that this has served as a strong warning for humanity. Thank you all for your time. Maria Z of zmedia.com. It's been an honour.